Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show, brought to you with West Yorkshire Electrical. Dan and Phil here for the start of the week catch-up show, but we are recording this, Phil, moments after the Ipswich game has just finished against Middlesbrough, which we'll get into immediately, I think, and we'll assess Leeds United's prospects as we go. West Yorkshire Electrical, specialists in all things electrical. If it's got wires in it, they will work with it. Specialists in renewables. So if you're getting your solar panels done, now the spring is coming around, give West Yorkshire Electrical a shout on that one and they will sort your roof out as well. They've got a dedicated team of roofers now, so when you get your panels done, they'll do your roof nice and tidy and they'll do separate roof work for you as well. WYElectrical.co.uk for details. Also find them on socials. Right then, Phil, I was despairing about 2 hours ago when Leeds United completely chucked it in the bin against Blackburn. Do you want to start there? Should we start with just the general state of play here? Because we have a little bit more data now in that all the 3 o'clock kickoffs have finished. Southampton 6 points behind Leeds, inferior goal difference, 2 games in hand. Nobody seems capable of winning though at the minute.
No, they really don't. This week hasn't changed an awful lot. It's made a slight difference and things have moved a touch. You're waiting really for a weekend, aren't you, where you feel as if somebody's forced the issue. And it's funny how you're coming out of games like Tuesday nights against Sunderland thinking, poor result, Leeds probably can't afford many more of these now, let alone one more, really. And then Ipswich drop points themselves. And then again today, Leeds lose to Blackburn, a defeat that you really don't think they can, you know, sustain if they're going to finish in the top two. But Leicester have lost to Plymouth last night. Ipswich can't get it done against Middlesbrough. And it does feel, I think you felt it at Elland Road today, but it must be true elsewhere without actually being, you know, on kind of at hand with Ipswich or with Leicester. The pressure's got to be kicking in. Everybody's got to be feeling it. I think Leicester have been feeling it for quite a while now. I still go back to that game against Elland Road. I think that has had a pretty profound effect on them. I can't help thinking that if they'd taken either of those chances at 1-0, that they'd probably be promoted by now, but it really, really dragged them back into it. It's made them think psychologically they haven't looked particularly good in that period. But this has become a hard spell for Leeds. It's become a tricky spell for Farker. It's become extremely challenging and it's suddenly become very different to what he had at Norwich. I think I was saying last week, and I was writing last week, that at Norwich, wasn't that either season was a doddle or a cinch for him, but at this point of it, they were pretty much there. And they were not only going to go up, they were going to win the title. This is much tighter, this is far less certain, and that was a bad result today.
The method has seen us this far, and yet it feels like the whole thing is wobbling. Now we're kind of beyond that point. As you say, it was almost done and dusted, wasn't it? The points total would see you up in most years. It hasn't seen us up. And now it's what they call squeaky bum time, isn't it? It's gone way beyond anything I think that Farkas Norwich experienced in those seasons.
It's funny, you know, I don't even feel like I'm seeing something wobbling. I feel like I'm seeing something stagnate and something slow up and grind to a little bit of a halt. I mean, a lot of the performances, a lot of the games this season have been very, very similar, especially Elland Road. And that was really no different today to what we've seen many times over Blackburn's approach. Blackburn's tactical model and their idea of what they were going to do, and we'll come to them in a little bit, but I have to say they absolutely did a number on Leeds today. Absolute definition of that in having very little of the game, being a limited team, but kind of playing to their strengths, wasting time looking for counter-attacks and finally getting the goal that they'd been after all day, which was just a chance to play Smodics into space and a really good finish from him from a position where he just hasn't been missing this season. But with Leeds, I think what we've seen over the past 2 or 3 weeks, particularly since international break, is a repetition of things that aren't quite working as they were working before. In terms of you know, trends that have been there all the way through the season. I've written about this for Monday, about what's going on in the centre of Farke's midfield. What you're getting there is a really, really strong platform, almost like the definition of the platform midfield. They progress play to a certain point, they bring you to a certain stage of the field with the ball, but then after that, it's kind of left to the your kind of real attacking threats and the flair on the fringes to do the rest. Farke hasn't had a single goal this season from his four centre mids, Gray, Ampadu, Gruev, and Kamara. He put Gray in there. I think both Michael and I were saying when we recorded before the game that we saw the merit of doing that, just to give them a bit more of a lively presence, a bit more of a spark. I think Gray of the four midfielders is more attack-minded than the other three. But it didn't make a huge difference in that respect. And I think what was even more striking when I looked at the numbers for the centre mids is the fact that combined between the four of them, they've had 11 shots on target this season, which is, you know, next to none over a 46-game term. And I think the issue there is that for a lot of the season, they haven't needed goals from that area. But on a day like today, and I guess against Sunderland in midweek and other little moments too, where you need, you know, I guess a bit of an unlikely source to come up with a goal for you, the data kind of tells you that it goes without saying that it won't be coming from that area. And I think you do find, as we did towards the end today, that when it isn't happening, it feels a little bit like everything's in the lap of Somerville out wide, Nonto out wide, hoping that they're just going to weave a little bit of magic. And I thought the idea is complete. I know there were chances and I know there were moments where Leeds could have won the game and absolutely the case. Penalty decisions, one of which I thought was worth a shout, the other two I didn't. But all in all, it felt to me like the ideas had just gone in those final kind of 5-10 minutes. And I did not expect Leeds to score.
Yeah, we were saying on the match ball, I felt like the later raft of substitutions when we were, sort of went Joseph and Bamford and whatnot up front kind of played into Blackburn's hands just a little bit. It felt like we opted to kind of just sling balls into the area to see if they worked and go physical rather than using guile. And I wonder, is that maybe the thing that's lacking in midfield, as much as goals, a little bit of guile behind the attacking players? Because you're looking for, I've noticed that, you know, when he starts to make changes to it, it's like Pirro drops into the attacking midfield spots. Tuesday, we saw that Nonto was used in those positions as well behind the strikers. And maybe there's just it's that fabled number 10, isn't it, that never quite materialised?
Yeah, although having said that, I mean, Ruta has been massively creative this season. And he has...
I know it's used past tense there, though, because it doesn't feel like he is at the minute.
No, he definitely isn't. Well, nobody is particularly at the moment, are they? Not bang on it. And again, coming back from the international break and he had the operation during it, Ruta, he hasn't looked sprightly, he hasn't looked full of beans, hasn't really made it happen. But you are, with him, you have been getting a lot of creativity in that 10 area. If you're saying that behind him, the centre mids are not hugely creative, then I totally agree. And the numbers bear that out. You look at the number of big chances that, you know, that clutch of four have created. And okay, you know, bearing in mind, Gray's played a lot at right back. Ampadu more recently has played at centre back. But between them, they've all had a lot of games in the centre midfield. And there isn't a huge creative streak there at all. It was Pirro in for Bamford today, which I thought kind of met the noise for a change at nine halfway. I think most people, certainly the clamour on the streets, seemed to be Joseph in for Bamford rather than Pirro. Didn't think Pirro had a particularly good game today. Again, it just doesn't look like he's massively on it. They've sagged, haven't they, at exactly the stage of the season where they didn't want to. And if I'm being totally honest, at exactly the stage of the season where I felt pretty confident about them finishing it off, going into the international break after the Millwall game, they seemed in very good shape. They seemed in very good fettle. You weren't looking at Ipswich and Leicester and really feeling that either of them were flying to any greater degree than Leeds. Leicester certainly not. But it's been a real struggle to get it going since then. And you do start to wonder whether this is coming down to pressure and to the, you know, the state of play, which is so tight that, you know, one result here and there could make a huge difference. And actually, I think the most damning thing about today was not even coming out of it with a point. Because a point here and there, given how tight it is, can make a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah. The only sustained wobble we've really had all season, if you take out that early part of it, was just the December Christmas run, wasn't it? And even then you had the 4-0 against Ipswich in the middle of that, which, you know, has proven to be hugely significant in terms of, you know, playing against our direct rivals. But yeah, it feels like they just need to arrest the slide. And I wonder if it's arresting the slide from a mental point of view as anything else. People have complained about the tactics, but I don't think it's a million miles away from working. It's just that it's not quite there. But I think if we'd have got that early goal today, or even if we'd have got that equal, got an equaliser, just to give them a little something to cling to. Because I don't know, I sit there at the minute and feel like we're never going to score again. You know, it kind of feels like we've forgotten to score, have forgotten how to win. But you could say the same, Matt, for Leicester and to a certain degree Ipswich.
Yeah, because everybody is feeling it. And this is where it's most difficult, getting it over the line when you know that you're this close. I was speaking to a few fans in the West Stand as I was going out. I don't know whether you noticed this, but we were saying, when the Smodics goal went in, it was like Ellen Road's battery dying.
On the match ball that you could hear the air leave the stadium. Yeah.
It went absolutely flat to the degree that you don't often see, certainly not when you're watching a good Leeds team. You know, I've seen Leeds teams over the years who've been either so incompetent or inept or whatever else that nobody has much faith in them. So you sort of resign to the worst when something like that happens. But you still had 8 minutes to go and you still had injury time to go. And the atmosphere, the mood of the crowd was, this is done, you know, the game's up. And I don't mean promotion, but I mean the game on the day. And it was, and I kind of felt the same. And I think some people would argue that this has been a slightly longer term thing. It's not that it's just happened since the international break. It's not that Leeds have been brilliant or scintillating, but they have had this really good knack of getting the job done when they need to. And like you say, just finding a goal, even if you don't play particularly well, finding a goal, making it happen, forcing the issue, getting points on the board. It's been quite a quick run, I think, from Watford to this point of feeling that at Elland Road today, of that just total uncertainty. And, you know, I repeat myself all the time with this, but I really do wonder whether there is a club in the country or a fan base who are so concerned, and totally understandably, about what's coming and about kind of the way I've written it is like optimism fading into doubt and then dragging you into the sort of hole that Leeds tend to dig for themselves somehow. The door opens and you just wait and see who's going to smash it in your face, like Jack Marriott, you know, in that game against Derby. And it's weird because this Leeds team, up until very, very recently, a couple of weeks ago, should have been kind of fueling their own self-confidence and the confidence in the team. I mean, you remember when you and Rob were sat talking before the Coventry game, I think, and I was sort of saying to you, it's hard to think of how a coach or a coach manager or a set of players could give you more confidence in them just on the basis of the results. But here we are, and by no means is it done. I can't help feeling that this has got to be going down to the last day of the season, because it doesn't feel like anybody is either in the right place performance-wise or psychologically of the top three to just suddenly bust for home and make it happen. But in saying that, you expect the unexpected now, don't you?
Lord only knows. I did a thing with Johnny Buchan on Radio Leeds on Friday, and there was an Ipswich fan was on as well with me, and a Leicester fan. They're all bricking it as well, Phil.
Of course they are, yeah.
Everybody has lost their minds over this. And Johnny, he did a little naughty thing to us, and I'm going to do the same to you now.
Oh, go on.
He asked each of us in turn what we thought our percentage chance was of going up.
How on earth are you meant to work that out?
Just to say, you know, how do you feel within yourself?
It sounds like supercomputer fodder.
And the Leicester fan went first, and she said 80%.
Wow.
Bear in mind, she was on her way down to Plymouth at this point.
Right, okay, yes.
And then I think the Ipswich fan went second and said about 51%. And I said, I feel about 55%, but I'm less worried about the other teams as much as Leeds being Leeds. I said, you know, we've been around this block 1,000 times, and lo and behold, we've wobbled. And not only have we wobbled today, but we've lost.
Yeah.
And my doubt, or is that 45% doubt, is all rooted in that. That's been my sort of general demeanour across the season. I've just veered on the side of optimism. I was in despair. It felt like a funeral walking down here afterwards. And I thought, well, that's it. We've blown it. It's over. As you tend to do. And then Ipswich have just drawn to Middlesbrough. And it reminds you there's still distance left to run in this. And I was saying on the match ball also, because it's not over, because we know it's going on, it's rolling forward for another 2 or 3 weeks, it feels like prolonging the agony off the back of that happening there. But anyway, back to the question. Where do you think we sit now then? It's 5:15 on Saturday as we record. Would you dare to put a percentage on Leeds going up here?
Not really, but I tell you what, I will do if I can then reveal your pre-match WhatsApps
don't
to me.
Would I dare?
No, I won't do. But
that's so mean, because now people are going to say, "What did you say?"
I need to
remind myself of it.
There was just a slight vein of confidence. Don't read it. You don't need Leicester's.
Oh no, I don't mind reading this out because I was being completely silly and tongue in cheek, but I just said
just be careful because Leicester's equivalent to Square Ball will be doing propaganda on this.
Oh no, I just said Leicester finished, Ipswich finished, glorious and stress free ride to the title, Leeds United.
What did I say?
You said absolutely no way that message will be coming back to haunt you. But yes. I was just being
silly. Yeah, 100%.
You know, especially because we've wobbled.
Without being the supercomputer, it feels 50-50 to me because I'm not seeing much from Ipswich and Leicester that's making me think that they're bounding over the line with carefree abandon. But Leeds are putting themselves in the position now where one bad weekend could completely do them over. And it's pointless saying, you know, if they'd had a better run since international break, they'd be X number of points clear because Leicester and Ipswich have won some pretty winnable games and some games where they should have taken more points. So it just is how it is.
Everyone's at it.
Yeah, no, they absolutely are.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely not swaying on the side of negativity with this, but I'm not swaying on the side of positivity either. I am right down the middle thinking, quite honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was
exactly the same, but just veering towards the optimism because I've kind of carried that through with me all season. But yeah, I'm just looking at the form guide. Of the last nine games that the top three have played, there's only been one win in all that, and that was Leicester when they beat Birmingham 2-1.
So suddenly this kind of run, you know, everybody racing towards 100 points has become, can anybody actually get over 90?
I don't think anybody can do 100 now, can they?
No, it doesn't look like it. No.
Leicester 88, they could get to, although they could.
Oh no,
actually,
Leicester could just win all theirs.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Speaking to Farke afterwards, I think, again, I've said this before, but to be fair to him, he doesn't tend to shout the odds when it goes wrong. You know, he doesn't tend to get them spiky or bitter and twisted about it or to start pointing at the form up until this point. I think he knows that Leeds could have been better today. I think he looked at Smodic's finishing in the way he did and thought, well, that, you know, that is what wins you games when players score like that. I think there are certainly things that could have been done differently today. I'm not sure whether Pirouin for Bamford particularly worked especially well. I'm not going to dig out the grey call because I would have done that, I think, and also Robertson at right back, which I didn't think significantly weakened Leeds in that area. There wasn't a massive problem with that.
He had a couple of moments, didn't he? But
there were a few.
But then he wasn't the only one.
But again, to go back to Smodics, I was really impressed with him, and the thing that impressed me most, apart from the finish, and you could just tell that he's been doing that all season, and those chances come, and he knows he's going to score them. But he saw very little possession, and when he did, he was so good at doing things with it. There was that moment in the second half where he managed to run the ball. It was towards the end of normal time where he managed to run the ball out from in front of his own box over to the right wing to make sort of 30 yards, even though he had three or four Leeds players round about him. And that, you know, those little moments made the difference for them in the same way as they did time waste, absolutely. But they had a tactical approach, and it worked. And you can never pretend that anybody should be coming to Elland Road and playing in the way that Leeds want them to play. You know, Leeds are a better team, better squad. If you try to go toe-to-toe with Leeds, more often than not, you'll lose. So
yeah, it's up to us to deal with it, isn't it?
Well, it absolutely is. And if Blackburn are at risk of relegation, which they have been, you'll have seen the celebrations from them at full time. That's a huge result for them and a really, really big one. We were asking Farke afterwards about the dressing room. How's it coping? How's it holding together? I think more to the point, do you have the personality and the characters in there that you really need in this moment? The talent's not in doubt at all. And for what it's worth, I actually think there are plenty of people in there who will be good at holding it together. I think your Rodons and Ampadus and Roberts and others will be good voices at this time. But also Farke as well, because he does have two titles on his record. But neither, like I said earlier, neither of them were achieved like this. You know, it was never this tight at this stage of the season. And it was never so on the line that there was a really serious chance with three games to go that you were going to wind up in the playoffs, where you absolutely, yes, would have been a good outcome at the very start of the season. But once you're this close to going up automatically, the playoffs are almost like the last place you want to be.
And as you say, like, it's the sign of something stagnating is what you're seeing at Elland Road, and you don't want to be stagnating going into the playoffs. Like I was saying, they need to arrest the slide and rediscover it.
Well, the weird thing is, right, you've got three teams who are stagnating a bit at the moment, who all happen to be first, second or third, so in contention for automatic promotion. And even if they carry on stagnating to the end of the season, two will get away with it and two will get out of this. I say get away with it, I mean, they still have had fantastic seasons, but two will get out of it without then having to prove themselves again and to find something extra in the playoffs. One of them is going to get dropped back in the playoffs and is going to have to show that they have both the ability, but more to the point, the constitution to hold it together, which is not easy.
The constitution aspect of it is the more vital thing at the minute. And
Put it this way. I mean, I said after the Anglian derby between Norwich and Ipswich, I was saying on Twitter that I thought Norwich are shaping up to be quite a threat in the playoffs. They're up over 70 points now. They're not far away from putting themselves in a position where they'll qualify for the playoffs. And that's exactly the sort of kick in the teeth that's down the line for somebody, isn't it? Getting beaten by a side over two legs who've finished 13, 14, 15 points behind you.
The Ipswich fan I spoke to on Friday. They're terrified of that. They're terrified. Yeah, they're terrified. If they don't quite make the cut, they said they'd go into the playoffs probably pretty confident because they've had such a good season. And I don't think they're weighed down by the same issues that both Leicester and Leeds have, which is money and the imperative to get back to the Premier League from a financial point of view. But he said the idea of playing Norwich over two legs in playoff semi-finals, they do not fancy it.
Partly because their record against Norwich recently is terrible anyway. And you can't get away, even though it's different squads season after season, you can't get away from that. You know, it does tend to dictate the narrative. That's what it will be all about. Plus the fact that you have one side who are kind of throwing darts at a board and hoping that it pays off for them. Another who think that they should probably already have been up and had opportunities to already be up. And you've seen that take effect before. Equally, you might find that whoever out of the top three finishes in the playoffs has been that good and is that far ahead of the sides below them in terms of consistency and quality that they get through the playoffs anyway. But it'll be massively high stakes for Leeds if they end up in there. You know that.
Yes. Yes, Phil. Just looking at what's coming next, and you've got Leicester, West Brom at lunchtime, Saturday the 20th. So that's next Saturday.
I was just about to say going backwards a little bit of West Brom, but quite honestly, who isn't at the moment?
But that'll be a tough game for them, won't it? And then you've got us playing Middlesbrough on the Monday, and then you've got Leicester playing Southampton on the Tuesday immediately after that, before we go to QPR on the Friday. So it could all look very different before Ipswich play again. And this is one thing I'm fascinated, the lay of the fixtures. If Leeds can dig something out finally and just rediscover whatever it is that they're missing, if it's, you know, mojo, bollocks, whatever it might be, if they can find it, and it has to be two wins now, there's no two ways about it. If we're going to do this, it has to be two wins.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I agree with that.
Would put us onto 93 points, 4 points ahead of Ipswich. And with the goal difference, so our goal difference under those circumstances would be 12 better than Ipswich. So
yes.
is that then worth an extra point? So you are looking at Ipswich then having to win all three of their remaining games, which are Hull away, Coventry away and Huddersfield at home. You'd fancy them obviously against Huddersfield. It's the two in between that fascinate me. So again, it still feels like there's the opportunity for it. If Leeds can just find it again, just rediscover the thing and get two wins on the board between now and Saturday the 27th, they're with a shout.
I'm not sure there's even anything to rediscover. I think it's just a case of winning the games. They're doing whatever, you're finding whatever it is that you need in the games to win them. And we might well have the incredibly weird scenario of Leeds going to Middlesbrough with Southampton level on points with them. And you kind of think, how on earth has that happened? And oddly, I think it was only last week Farker was saying, look, I genuinely don't think Southampton are totally out of this. And looking at the gap, you're thinking, well, it's hard to see how that's going to happen. But then somebody in the press conference did ask him, in that case, you must kind of expect that somebody in the top three or a couple of clubs in the top three are going to either collapse from here or are going to find it very difficult to get points on the board. And that is exactly what's happened. And I don't think Southampton have in any way been incredible with the performances or the results. It's just that what's going on above them is not great at the moment.
Yeah, the schedule's tough for them. I think that maybe that's one of the things that might just count against them, because looking at the fixtures, they've got Preston at home. 4 days later, they travel to Cardiff. Then 3 days after that, they travel to Leicester. Then they've got Stoke at home 4 days after that. So it's a game every 3 or 4 days, barring heading into the last week against us. So it's a tight turnaround. It's a lot to ask, isn't it, to win every single game in the running?
It is. Farker's going to have some big calls coming up with his team. There's quite a lot of discussion about the substitution of Nonto today, and he was implying that he didn't think. I did look at Nonto at one point in the second half, and he looked like he was breathing very heavily as he'd covered back to see the ball out of play, and you just wondered whether he was starting to run low on energy. Farker seemed to be implying that he didn't feel like he could push him through 90 minutes, although he did say he was tempted, because Nonto, for my money, was probably the best Leeds player on the pitch. But you suddenly find yourself with these dilemmas of who should you be playing on the flanks, who should you be playing in the centre of midfield, who should you be playing up front, because I don't think today has provided much more clarity for that. There was that big chance for Bamford that came off his shoulder. Should really have scored that. Pirro, there's one point in the second half, Pirro shooting from about 30 yards and Shaw getting blocked.
It felt like an idiotic decision, didn't it? Frustration, panic.
I think panic, yeah, rather than idiotic. I think it's the sort of sign of desperation, isn't it? Where you think that they don't quite believe this is going to happen here, and they're starting to hit it from that kind of range. So I wonder whether in this week Farker has as much to think about when it comes to his lineup at Middlesbrough as he has at any point since the West Brom game back in December, where he did revert to Bamford and he did shake it up a little bit. I think there's value in persisting with Gray in midfield because of what you can get from him. I think also because Kamara's recent form hasn't looked particularly great. But this is when your big players deliver, and this is when he's going to need them to.
And they have to. That's the point. They absolutely have to. Let's finish the show then on this question. Give me reasons, or can you give me a reason to be optimistic?
Yeah, because I can absolutely see Leeds winning at Middlesbrough. I can absolutely see them winning at QPR, and with you, that I think they are going to have to win both games. They do have the advantage of Ipswich not playing in that period, which potentially does shift the pressure down there. I think to use one of Farker's comments from today, when I was asking him about personalities in the dressing room and everything else, he said, we weren't all sort of digging them out after 25 games or 30 games, so I'm not going to start digging them out on that front with 3 games to go just because we haven't scored in the last two and because we've lost today. I do want a bit of perspective on that. But he has spoken a few times through the season about the fact that it might be helpful, or might have been helpful, if there was a touch more maturity, experience in the squad and on the pitch particularly. And this is where that would really help. But it doesn't get away from the fact that there is loads and loads of talent in this team. Comparative to a lot of the championships, some of the best players in the division are in Farker's side. And that, I think, is also true of Leicester. I've never been so sure whether it's true of Ipswich, but it doesn't really matter as it stands.
They have a way to win, don't they?
They have a way to win. They have a setup that clearly suits them really well. They have round pegs and round holes and the top of the league with 3 games to play. So, it's not quite in their hands because Leicester have got a game in hand at the moment, but it's right there for Ipswich if they want it. Leeds are going to have to play better than they have. They are going to have to be more dangerous going forward than they have been, and they're going to need something to happen elsewhere to help them out on the basis of the fact that they're sitting third at the moment. But it can happen. I've felt all the way through the second half of the season that it will happen, and sticking to that.
Well, as Howard Wilkinson said when Leeds wobbled in 1992, I hope that Farker is able to convey the same sort of message to the players. Trust your swing.
But also, funnily enough, last week, or the week, I think it was before the Coventry game, I was reading back about the Man City defeat in 92, because I remember writing about that on the 25th anniversary of the title, and also reading about it on occasions over the years, about how he handled what looked like a kind of season defining defeat and potentially, you know, the end of the road. It wasn't that they didn't have plenty of games left, but the question started to be asked, are they going to be able to do this?
No, it looked to be done.
Yeah, I mean, you'll know better than me. I wasn't kicking around the scene at that point, but from reading about it, it felt like one of those defeats where you think, right, okay, curtains.
It looked terminal.
And what interested me about it was, yes, trust your swing, but also the fact that he said to the players afterwards, I'm going to pick the same team for the rest of the season, with the exception of one game, which I think was Anfield, Liverpool away, where he dropped Strachan because he wanted, I think I'm right in saying he wanted Leeds to be more defensive in that game and to make sure they got something out of it, which they did, which was a point. But absolutely had the clarity of message to say, this is the 11 who are going to be playing. This is what we're doing. This is going to work. Or at least I'm confident that it's going to work. I couldn't have any more confidence in a different plan to this one. And it did. It paid off. And I think there are lots of strands to the psychology of this, but one of them is definitely a head coach who sounds like they're sure of themselves, looks like they're sure of themselves, sounds like they know what they're doing. I think it was a good thing today that the red card was for Farker's assistant rather than him. Otherwise, that would have made quite a lot of headlines, and I think would have made you look at Farker and think, for the first time this season, he's completely lost it. But as it was one of his boys.
Happy days.
Yeah.
Right, Phil, we'll come back and we'll preview Middlesbrough towards the back end of the week and perhaps just have a couple of days away from all this nonsense.
Why not?
From all this nonsense. Thanks for joining us on this one. We'll see you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.